Hello, Anna Vito with you at the ABARES Outlook Conference for 2015 in Canberra. We've heard some interesting things today, some sluggish, I suppose, movement on the global economy, some interesting and differing perspectives on China, and I guess the impact of the slowdown in growth in that economy, what that might mean for Australia, some more optimistic and more pessimistic views on that, and we'll hear a bit more about that soon. The Minister, Barnaby Joyce, has also addressed the forum, and he promises us that the white paper that we've been waiting for will be addressed or will be released imminently. Edwina Farley, ABC Rural Zone, has been listening into all of this and joins us now with a bit of an overview. Ed, what have you been looking through in those papers?
Look, one of the most interesting things has been the forecast for the Australian dollar. Now, why does this matter? Well, about 65% of Australia's agricultural production is exported. Now, those contracts are mainly calculated in US dollar terms. So what happens with the Aussie dollar is absolutely crucial to farm income. Interestingly, similar forecasts from both the National Australia Bank and ABARES. ABARES is predicting the dollar to sit at around 77 cents in the short term. NAB thinks it might be lower at around 74 cents, but levelling out to 76, 77 cents. So there's still some falls ahead, which will be making producers very, very happy indeed, because whilst it's good news for those doing the exporting, there's also going to be a bit of pressure then on what we call input costs, things like fertiliser, etc. So that's kind of the downside of the dollar, but certainly more falls ahead.
And the Minister Barnaby Joyce, as I mentioned, has addressed the forum today. What was he keen to tell us?
Well, he promised no motherhood statements would be forthcoming, and he did say that the release of the agricultural white paper, which was promised in the first year of government, was imminent. So there has been a bit of a delay to that. We thought it would be out toward the end of last year, but no sign of it yet. However, the reason for its delay is because the minister wants it to be, quote, formidable, and he has promised that it will transform how we see agriculture, and it will be meaningful, and there won't be big blanket approaches, and that we should get that very soon. Mr. Joyce also told us he's going to oversee the introduction of clear, simple and unambiguous country of origin labelling, which is quite the challenge because no one has yet managed that. However, that's what he's promising.
ABARES also gives us a bit of a wrap of what we can expect weather-wise. What's that showing?
Well, the Bureau really has focused on what seasonal conditions have been in the period up to January. So whilst there's been some good rain around, there's been widespread drought in a lot of regions, and really it's how that's translating for cropping this year. Providing there's average rain, things should be okay, but really it's going to be the rainfall over the next several months, which will be absolutely critical, not just for the winter crop that's planted, but also for livestock producers who'll be really banking on that if they get to rebuild the national herd at all. So weather's going to be a huge part of ag incomes and forecasts this year.
Edwina Farley, thank you very much. Well, joining us now is the Executive Director of ABARES, Karen Schneider. Karen, welcome to the country, and thank you for having us at Outlook this year. I suppose, give us the big picture. How does ABARES really see the outlook for people?
We're seeing quite a positive outlook going forward this year. Farm cash incomes at the national level are quite strong. They have come down a little bit from last year, but last year was particularly high, especially in the grain-growing areas. But still, at the national level, they're well above long-run averages. So that's quite a good story. Western Australia, of course, grain production is a little bit lower. In Queensland, we're seeing actually some growth in farm cash incomes, mainly because of that turn-off of cattle that we've been seeing. But overall, it's not a negative story at the moment.
And certainly, in fact, ABARES predicting that very positive story we've seen in livestock continuing into the next year. Some really good news there. I guess, as always, some mixed news elsewhere. But one of the really interesting points you raised in your address this morning, talking about incomes and how that ties into the exchange rate, a really clear and concrete relationship between the two at the farm gate.
We've done some analysis on what a further decline in the Australian dollar, US dollar exchange rate would mean for farmers. And what we show is that for every further 1 cent reduction in the value of that exchange rate, farm incomes are likely to rise by about $320 million. And that comes about because of growing export prices in Australian dollar terms, offset to some extent by more expensive imported inputs. So fertilisers and machinery are often imported, so they will cost more in Australian dollar terms, but farmers will be receiving higher Australian dollar returns for most of their exports. exports.
Another interesting point, and certainly an issue we've heard a lot about, is farm debt in Australia. Now, we know that this is a patchy situation. There are pockets that are much worse off than others. But at the national level, ABARES has found things aren't looking too bad.
At the national level, what we've seen over the last year is that debt hasn't really increased significantly at all. In drought-affected areas, there has been an increase, particularly in some pockets of Queensland and northern New South Wales. Debt in those regions has increased by about 5%. Most of that's been to cover cash flow shortfalls as people's expenses increase and their revenues decline. But nationally, no, farm debt has remained relatively stable. And equity levels, people's equity in farming has remained relatively stable as well.
Karen Schneider, thank you very much. Your colleague Jamie Penn is also with us. He's ABARES Chief Commodity Analyst. Jamie, clearly something that a lot of producers have been looking to try and improve that profitability even further have been the free trade agreements that we've signed with countries in Asia. The Korean agreement we know has entered into force. What's ABARES predicting might happen for big exports like beef, for example, in that space?
Of course, the Korean-Australian free trade agreement will make us in a more competitive situations in competing in the Korean market, especially for beef and dairy products. Some other countries, such as the United States and the European Union, have already signed free trade agreements with Korea. So they are facing tariff reductions. Now we are in a similar situation that we are achieving tariff reductions for our exports to the Republic of Korea. So compared with without a free trade agreement, we are much more better off.
Clearly a lot of interest in China today at the ABARES Outlook. What is happening to the Chinese economy? Is it slowing down or is it actually starting to become a problem for Australia? Jeff Raby is a former Australian ambassador to China, now a consultant based there, and joins us now. Jeff, how do you see the Chinese economy and prospects for growth?
Well, I think the economy is still continuing to grow quite strongly. It's recording a growth rate around 7%, maybe a bit higher than that. That's over three times the rate of growth of the US economy. It's the second biggest economy in the world. And if you consider that it's doubled in size over the past 8 years, then that sort of growth rate off that base, which is now twice as big as it was 8 years ago, is like an aggregate growth rate 8 years ago of maybe 12% in terms of how it translates into demand for commodities and food.
So the overall slower growth rate doesn't concern you overly?
No, and I think it's probably a good thing. There's some rebalancing of the economy. Services are starting to take up a bigger share of the economy. Consumption will, over time, gradually drive growth more than investment. But the old investment-led growth model, as I was saying this morning, still has legs on it. It's still got some way to run, not least because there's 300-odd million people who will move into cities over the next 15 years.
We know that China is also, as all countries, Indonesia, we've seen a similar pattern, very keen to produce more food itself as well. To what extent is China able to produce or meet its own demand, though?
Well, it is actually, it does have a very high self-sufficiency ratio, much higher than Japan or Korea, for example. Probably it's well within the 90% range. It's a huge landmass, it's very productive, but it's also constrained. It's constrained by water, it's constrained by urbanisation, which is removing arable land very quickly, and it cannot keep up with the income growth. And so as incomes grow and demand shifts into higher value-added foods, dairy, meat and so on, the protein comes from those sources, it will look increasingly to foreign markets to supply it.
And so that's where the opportunity presumably remains for a country and exporter like Australia?
Oh, it's a terrific opportunity for Australia. We're only constrained by our own supply capacity. The market is big and will continue to grow. Even if it's only a small share of China's total consumption, that will be a very big volume compared to Australia's productive capacity.
A bit of a question without notice, but of course Australia has also signed a free trade agreement with China, yet to come into force. How do you see that affecting, in the farm commodity space certainly, the relationship? Is it going to lead to a boom? Are we just going to continue on the same trajectory? How do you see that playing out?
Well, I think it's very important. I think it will enter into force later on this year. Apparently the legal scrubbing is going well, as they call it. And what it will do, a bit like the Korean, in the first place, as the phase out of tariffs against our agricultural goods takes place over 4 to 5 years, it will remove the price disadvantage we have in the market against our competitors who already have free trade agreements. So in the first instance, it's defensive, but I think it will provide the basis for big growth in our exports to China. Another dimension to it, of course, is China is looking increasingly to Australia to invest in and in the agricultural sector, and that interest is growing quite strongly. And so you'll wrap around the relationship a treaty-level understanding between, or obligations between the two governments. Investment flows will be freer, and certainly it will have a big head-turning effect as well in China.
And just finally and quickly on that, because of course we've seen the government move to constrain investment in the free trade agreement and now more broadly in Australian agricultural land and eventually agribusiness. Has there been any pushback, any concern from the investor community in China about that?
Well, Minister Joyce explained this morning that it's not about a protectionist move. It is basically, from his perspective, more of a level playing field with other countries, and certainly there's real restrictions on investing in agricultural land in China if you're a foreigner. But no, there's been no pushback, and I think we will all find that we will still be operating under a very liberal and open investment regime.
Jeff Raby, thank you very much.
My pleasure, thank you.
Thank you, and this is Anna Vito. That's all from us at ABARES this year.